We're continuing with Eicha, second chapter, Pasuk Zayin. Notice Pasuk Zayin is the letter Zayin. We're going in the alphabetical order. Zanach Adonai Mizbecho Nieo Mikdasho. It's as though Hashem forgot his altar. It's as though Hashem kicked his temple. Hisgir biyad oyev. He gave it over into the enemy hands. Chomot al menoteha. The fortification, the walls of the palace, Hashem gave into the enemy's hands. Kol natenu beveit Adonai kiyom moed. And there was so much noise in the temple, you'd think it was a holiday. When the Jews amassed to the temple on the holidays, so you had 1 million, 2 million people there, there was a lot of noise. And now the enemies, their throngs came in as they celebrated the destruction of the temple. There was so much noise in the temple, you could have thought it was a holiday. Chashav Adonai lehashchit chomat bat zion natakam lo yishiv yado mibaleha. Hashem thought, decided to destroy the walls of Zion, and then he drew a line illustrating the path Hashem would take in its destruction, and he didn't pull back. Vayavel chel vechoma yachdav umlalo. And so Hashem caused the wall. They used to have two walls surrounding a city. And the idea was, if you were attacking a city, so you had the higher wall, and then you had a lower wall that would be like a meter or two in front of the higher wall. And the idea was, in case you wanted to take a battering ram, or in case you wanted to scale the wall, when you would charge the wall, you couldn't go straight ahead. You'd come straight to this lower wall, and then you'd be deterred. You couldn't come with your ammunition. You had to take apart the lower wall before you could use your battering ram against the higher wall. As you were trying to attack the higher wall, the people on the higher wall could shoot down at you. So it gave the people on the higher wall, let's say 3 meters out, you'd have this lower wall. You couldn't attack with a battering ram. You had to first take apart of the lower wall. While you were trying to take apart the lower wall, they could shoot down at you. So that's chel v'choma. In the temple, they had the same thing. They had the walls of the temple. Outside the wall, they had a chel. Chel was a low wall, but it was used in general. Now, the chel could also be used against us. They could use it to fill up the sand. They could do a lot of things to... that's the idea of a chel. So Hashem destroyed the chel and the choma, the two walls, the smaller wall that's outside, the inner wall, everything was destroyed. Taveu va'aretz she'areha. The gates of Zion sunk into the earth. Ordinarily the gates are the key point. You protect your gates so the enemy cannot enter. And the gates suddenly sunk into the earth. That's metaphoric. There were suddenly no gates to protect us. Ibad v'shibar bericheha. Because Hashem destroyed the hinges of the gates. The strength of the gate is contingent on its hinges and its bolts. So Hashem destroyed them. Malka. Visareha vagoyim ein Torah. The queen, her nobles, everyone's been exiled. There's no Torah. Gam nevi'eha lo matzeu chazon me'adonai. Even the prophets had no vision. They didn't know what to tell the people. So all the leadership is lost. Our sages say, this pasuk tells us a lot. Taveu v'aretz she'areha. We have prophecies about the gates of Zion returning. And so the idea that the gates sunk is a message that we're coming back. We said, built into Eicha is a secret message of comfort. The Megillah is telling you the destruction, and if you read closely between the lines, the Megillah is also telling you it's not over. From the first verse, Hayata Kealmana, Jerusalem was like a widow. Hashem doesn't say Jerusalem was widowed. Like a widow, but not really a widow. Hashem's still there for us. The gates sunk into the ground. What did they sink for? Because they're still coming back. It's not over. Our sages say her queen, her nobles are exiled, so there's no Torah. What does that mean? The Torah was given in Chutz Laaretz. The Babylonian Talmud was written in Chutz Laaretz. What does that mean in Chutz Laaretz there's no Torah? Our sages say, right. In Chutz Laaretz there's no Torah. You leave to Chutz Laaretz, it's not the same level of Torah you can get in Eretz Yisrael. When her queen, when those who are responsible for Torah were exiled in Torah, it's like they all the Torah was lost. So it's true, you could learn Torah in Chutz Laaretz. You have to learn Torah in Chutz Laaretz. You have to learn Torah if you are stuck in Chutz Laaretz. But you have to realize that the main place to study, understand, and develop Torah is Israel. It's not Chutz Laaretz. Yeshivo la'aretz yidemo. By the way, if the previous line I said sounded Zionistic to you, it's written in Talmud, it's written in Medrash, it's not in the Tano Frangenthal. It's like, this is concepts written in Chazal. Yeshivu la'aretz yidemo ziknei vatzion. Over the downfall of Zion, the elders sit to the ground. Helu afar al rosham. Hageru sakim. They put earth on their head as a sign of mourning. They wrap themselves in sackcloth. Horidu la'aretz roshan betulot Yerushalayim. The virgins of Jerusalem, even though they're getting married, they should be happy. No, their head goes down to the ground because they recognize that their wedding is not what it should be. It's at a time of destruction. Kalu v'demaot einai chomar meru me'ai. My eyes have been worn out of tears. My innards are burning. Nishpach la'aretz kivedi al shever batami. The elders say, when I look back at the suffering of my people, the elders say, my people suffered so much in famine, and so my eyes are worn out of tears. My innards are burnt. My liver is poured to the earth over the destruction of my nation. Beate folel viyonek birchovot kiryah. As I recall the youngsters, the babies who were not yet toilet trained, the sucklings who were bent over in hunger in the streets. Le'imotam yomiru ayeh dagan v'yayin. They turn to their mothers and they say, where do we have something to eat? Where is there something to drink? Behitatefam kechalal bilchovot ir. As they lay in the streets, bent over as though they were already dead. Behishtapech nafsham elchek imotam. As they gasp their dying breath, being held by their mother. The elders say, I remember that and I weep till my eyes are finished. I'm destroyed thinking of these sights. Ma'aidech ma'adamelach. What can I tell you, Jerusalem? Who can I compare you to? How can I tell you? You know, I've seen another people who've also suffered such destruction. Habat Yerushalayim, you congregation of Jerusalem. Ma'ashvelach v'nachamech. Who can I compare you to comfort you? Part of the comfort that people have, and this is an important rule, sometimes a person is undergoing a very difficult time in their life, and if they could hear that someone else did this too, someone else has been there, it gives them strength. The idea, I'm not the only one, and other people have been here. Not sure. Not sure. Betulat Batzion Kigadol Kayam Shivrech Meirpalach. Here we have a play on word. The word Shivrech, what does the word Shever mean?
Break.
The word Shever also means a wave. Because a wave is viewed as breaking from the flow of the sea. So a wave is also called a Shever. So your breaking or your wave was as big as the whole sea. So you see the play on words, the word Shivrech, your breaking or your wave that came and hit you over the head is as big as the sea. Or as big as the waves of the sea. And so, Mi Yirpalach, who could cure you from such a blow? Neviyayich Chazulach Shav Vitafel. Your prophets should have guided you, and instead, they gave you false hope. They kept promising you things that were completely fallacious. And they didn't point out to you what you were doing wrong, and had they pointed it out to you, they could have saved you from destruction. And this is a rule in life. Sometimes we have the responsibility to tell someone, I'm sorry, you're wrong. They won't always listen to us, but you will have such scenarios in your life. Sometimes it's your brother-in-law that's beating up on his kid. And you have to tell him, you're killing the kid. You can't do that. Sometimes it could be your best friend who's cheating on his job, who's behaving improperly to his spouse. And you have to stand up and tell him, look, I'm your friend. I'm going to tell you because I care for you. You shouldn't be doing this. You're wrong. So we have to recognize sometimes our job is to be the one to say, no, it's wrong. Most of the time, it's not our job, but sometimes it is.